Welcome back, folks. It's time for our New Orleans and Company segment, and Charlotte Voicy joins us, Executive Director of the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation, and the Tales of the Cocktail will start July 20th through the 25th. The home place will be at the Ritz-Carlton, and she's here to tell us all about what's going on. Charlotte, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Charlotte, I love the theme, evolve, to emit, derive, educe, to produce by natural evolutionary processes, develop, work. Sounds kind of seductive.
It does when you put it like that. Yeah, evolve is the theme for Tales of the Cocktail this year, and it really speaks to how everything changes, right, for the cocktail industry, which Tales is at the heart of. Things change on a yearly basis, and the content, things that people can experience at Tales of the Cocktail, evolves every year, and that's no different this year.
One would think that it might be hard to do so, right? You know, people drink kind of the same thing, and then they try a few different things. But you guys have the level of creativity of craft cocktails and what's going on in that industry for the last 10 years has been second to none.
It really has. It blows my mind every year, but we continue to get 300-400 different seminar submissions, meaning talks about different aspects of drinking, spirits production, cocktail culture. And the other thing to keep in mind with Tales of the Cocktail, we're a global event. We have bartenders coming in from over 50 different countries. And you can imagine each one of those has different perspectives, different ideas, different cocktails that they want to share with us.
Yeah, we tried something that we had never tried. It's pretty straightforward. We just never tried it. We were in Croatia, and they a lot of the bars there were doing limoncello spritz as opposed to Aperol spritz. They did Aperol, too. And we started drinking the limoncello spritz. I'm not a big Aperol fan, but I did love the limoncello spritz, and it was an interesting drink.
You like that one? Yeah, I've seen that in Italy, too, unsurprisingly, where limoncello is from. But, yeah, I think that one's sweeping across Europe, so maybe we'll see it in New Orleans as well this summer.
Absolutely. So you guys have really become the event to go to as it relates to this industry. What are you expecting this year in numbers and so forth?
Yeah, we're really pleased with how ticket sales have gone. We've got a lot of over 400 events on the Tales calendar. The agenda's up live on the Tales of the Cocktail website, talesofthecocktail.org. And it's a combination of educational seminars, of unique spirit tastings, of spirited dining and drinking events where, my favorite part, where folks get to visit the bars and restaurants of New Orleans and have a special curated menu put on by visiting bartenders, again, from all over the world. And all sorts of different special events are on the calendar. So we've got a packed schedule, and ticket sales have been going well. We still have some available, so you can still hop online and pick up a ticket, especially if you're local coming in. But we've got a lot happening this year again at Tales of the Cocktail.
Every year there seems to be a country, a region that kind of comes up with new and exciting opportunities and drinks. Anything interesting this year from a different part of the world?
I think for this year it's kind of a little bit of everything. For the Spirited Awards, for example, which is the Oscars of our industry, which we host on Thursday evening of Tales over at the Fillmore, it's a global awards program, and we're seeing more and more countries represented in the international categories. We're also seeing more and more cities within the U.S. represented within the domestic categories. So it's really great. You know, maybe 10 years ago, you might say like London and New York sort of dominated everything, but we're really seeing a spread of recognition across the world and across the U.S. So I'd say rather than a specific country being featured this year, it's a little bit of everything, which is great because it only contributes to the diversity of perspectives.
Yeah, and I should point out, y'all typically have over 20,000 attendees each year. And as I look at the agenda, it's easy to understand why. I mean, you guys know how to, there is education, but you also know how to have a lot of fun. But what's new or different about this year's Tales of the Cocktail?
Well, the good thing is that the content every single year is different, right? The seminar topics are different. Spirits that show up are different. A lot of brands use Tales of the Cocktail to launch new products for the very first time, so attendees can come along and taste things for the very first time. Bartenders are continuously innovating, so you're tasting cocktails that you've never seen before, enjoying the experience from bar teams that might travel in. That you've never had before. So the program itself, the content is new every single year. And then specifically, you know, we introduce different events. For example, this year we're hosting a luxury summit for the very first time, honing in on the upper echelon of the industry, the sort of higher net worth consumer behavior, high-end spirits, understanding how that particular part of the industry works. So there's always a few new events dotted in, but every, you know, nothing's repeated at Tales. It's always a surprise and delight moment for guests.
Now, I did see in some of the literature that there's going to be new conversations around artificial intelligence. How is that going to impact this industry?
Yeah, and to answer that question, I'll probably be pulling up a chair in that seminar myself to understand. But this is obviously something you're always learning. This is something we see in every part of society, right? You turn on the television and the news is full of AI is infiltrating everything. So, yeah, what does that mean for our industry? Is there a role to play? And I think the better question is, how can we use it to help better the industry and also understand some of the potential sort of dangers or watch outs? But, yeah, that's one I've marked on my own schedule to attend and learn a little bit more about.
Now, I know you always love to hear from the attendees, and it's very important because y'all are always improving on the product that you're offering. What have you been hearing in the past several years from the attendees, with, you know, especially as New Orleans as the host city?
Yeah, I think, you know, people always love to share their experiences at Tales of the Cocktail, and that's, you know, feedback is a gift. We truly need to understand that so that we can continue to deliver a world-class festival that's great for everyone in attendance. I think, you know, it's no surprise that people love coming to New Orleans for Tales of the Cocktail. Yes, they're coming for perhaps work purposes, for educational purposes, to network and meet friends, but the fact that it happens to be in such iconic, exciting, unique city helps a lot. So I know that people come and they like to engage with the community of New Orleans and the incredible music and food scene that you have to enjoy. So it's really important as well that we keep those ties with New Orleans. We've heard that from an international level and, of course, also a local level, because Tales of the Cocktail is part of the fabric of the community of New Orleans, especially in those summer months where it really helps boost the local economy.
So I think this is, what, your 17th year? Did I read that somewhere? Is that what it is?
I think we're past that. I think this might be year 21 for Tales of the Cocktail now.
21?
Yeah. It missed a couple of in-person events during the pandemic, but we did continue our programming and connection online as everyone took to Zoom to stay connected during those crazy years. But, yeah, I think we're coming up on 21 for this year.
In your wildest dreams, did you ever think it'd get this big?
No. Now, I wasn't at the first one. My first Tales was 2006, and it was relatively small. It was small enough that, you know, everyone fitted into one room, and everyone kind of walked around and did the same things. You know, everyone went to the breakfast and then to the tasting and then to the seminar and to the evening dinner. Now, of course, it's, you know, divide and conquer. The agenda is a matrix of wonderful experiences. So in hindsight, it doesn't surprise me when you look at the explosion of cocktail culture and the popularity of going to bars and drinking. But 20 years ago, if you'd asked me, no, I couldn't have predicted this.
Industry analysts are saying consumption down. Is that something that concerns you, or has that been kind of the experience over the years, kind of the ebb and flow?
The way I see it is consumption patterns are shifting, right? They're different, much as you would expect as generations kind of start to flow through. The younger generation have different patterns and preferences of how they consume and what they consume. So certain categories or parts of the industry might be feeling those effects while others are booming. So it's really a balance, and it's important to understand kind of where the opportunities are, which speaks again to this luxury summit that we do, because we hear that while people might drink less, they're drinking better or they're more discerning with how they spend their money. In which case they might sort of save up for a special occasion or have one fantastic cocktail rather than a couple of average drinks. We're also seeing young people are looking into non-alcoholic options, some exclusively, sometimes alongside alcoholic options. So I think rather than consumption down, it's a case of consumption is shifting.
And you're right. That's a much better way of putting it, pardon my ignorance, but is this something like, you know, that you've experienced over the years, you know, as the boomers kind of the numbers are diminishing and now the millennials and then the, you know, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z. Do you anticipate this change or modification in the taste patterns in the future?
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, that's part of why we chose that theme of evolve, right? We mm-hmm. want to evolve with the industry, with the guest, with the consumer at large. We want to keep pace with society and the changing opinions. We want to learn from the younger generation coming through who have new and creative ideas that perhaps aren't sort of married to the classics as much as an older generation might be. I think it's important to anticipate those changes and celebrate them, embrace them, be educated about them, and keep informed.
You know, you always kind of think of it in the classic, you know, kind of sense. You know, sommelier and as you're trained there in the classic wines, the classic vintages, the same kind of thing in cocktails. I'm wondering. Is there a huge difference, or do you notice a difference in the younger set bartender as opposed to middle age or someone who's a boomer?
I think, you know, I'm probably somewhere in the middle. When I was sort of coming up, the cocktails that I first learned how to make are sort of drastically out of fashion now, right? But that's my reference point. What I see mm-hmm. with a younger generation coming through is that the cocktails they started learning were new cocktails to me. So they have a different reference point coming up. So when they're sort of creating their own drinks, it's less rooted in the history of classic cocktail culture because they're not as close to that era. So in some ways, they have a freedom to be more creative because they don't mm-hmm. They don't feel that pressure to kind of honor the classics. And I say that with all due respect. I think it's quite an exciting mindset. Yeah, but it's also good to have those older bartenders or the slightly older generation who do understand the classics and can kind of fill in those gaps. So I think we're in a really exciting moment now. And if you look at the demographics of Tales, we have attendees from all of those eras. And that's the beauty of coming together at Tales of the Cocktail, because it's the exchange of information. It's those conversations where you hear perspectives from, you know, maybe people quite older or quite younger than you that you don't often get to hear those perspectives. And that's where the magic happens and the ideas are exchanged. That's my favorite part.
Yeah. Interestingly, I guess it's all still about pleasing and satisfying the customer, right?
Of course, right? That's the old adage of the guest is always right. I don't know if they're always right. But at the end of the day, you know, we want to make people, that's what hospitality is all about, right? Someone walks into your bar or restaurant, you want to make sure they have a great experience. And the interesting part is that, you know, bartenders, much like sommeliers, are very passionate about what they do. So they're excited to educate. They want to show guests new things and sort of encourage them to try. But at the end of the day, it's really what the guest wants, right? So it's not a hard sell. It's about showing them options, giving them a little bit of knowledge. The more knowledge you have on something, perhaps the better you can enjoy it. And I think that's really at the heart of everything that we're trying to do.
Yeah, and I got to imagine that you must be encouraged and excited, too, by the diversity of the offerings. I mean, you know, with so many new types of things that are out there now, it's like, you know, we were involved in a conversation over the 4th of July weekend, and someone was mentioning, we had, adult children with us, and they were mentioning a new drink, and I'm like, what are you talking? I never heard of this thing. And sometimes you just kind of feel so out of touch, you know, because it's changing. It seems to be changing faster. I don't know. I may be wrong, but it just feels that way.
No, I think you're right. I think there's never been a more diverse offering, right, for the bartender to mix with, for the guests to order from. There's never been a more exciting time in mixology, in cocktail culture. Sort of, we went through this phase of bringing everything historic back, right, and uncovering all of these different spirits and liqueurs that were popular during Prohibition and pre-Prohibition, kind of bringing all of those back so that we can make classic cocktails again. And once that was done, it's like, all right, what's next? Let's create new things. Let's come up with, you know, new spirits. Let's bring to the fore different parts of the world who've been making these spirits for thousands of years, maybe that we've not heard of before, and let's bring those into, like, the common palate. So you're right. There's more diversity now than ever, and I certainly can't keep up, and I'm a professional in this space. But it is exciting. I think it's great, and it brings more people in.
Is there a little tinge of scary?
Yeah, it can be a little overwhelming, right? But again, that comes back to, like, a great bartender is all about service and hospitality and making guests feel welcome and not feeling, like, silly if they don't know what certain spirits are or don't understand the ingredients of a cocktail. Just breaking it down. It's like, you know, if you'd like a gin martini, maybe you'll like this cocktail that I've just created, and here's the difference, you know?
Yeah. So when you think about it in this context of changing diversity, where do you see Tales of the Cocktail in 5 to 10 years?
Yep. Looking to the future, you know, I see that we continue to support the global drinks industry. That's at the heart of the foundation's mission. We are a non-for-profit, and we're really here to support, advance, and educate the global drinks industry. So it's all about keeping pace with the issues that drive the industry. It's about anticipating the trends, making sure we're bringing some of those new and exciting ingredients and flavors to the fore, making sure that as new generations come into the industry, that they've got the right level of education and inspiration, more importantly, perhaps, to set them up for success so that they can go on and introduce the next kind of chapter of ideas and methodology and concepts for different bars, right? Because we've seen a lot of different styles of bars and restaurants as well come up over the last sort of 5 or 10 years. So I think the role of Tales is to keep pace with that, to anticipate, to provide for the industry what we can in order to drive that creativity and make sure that, you know, bars and restaurants remain successful, profitable, but fun for the guest.
Absolutely. And if folks want to learn more about the event, they can go to talesofthecocktail.org, right?
That's correct. Our full agenda for the week of Tales of the Cocktail is on the website. Tickets are also now on sale. There are still tickets left, so you can pick up a day pass or a week pass to attend some of our wonderful events, but all of the information is there on the website.
Yeah. And as always, we wish you the best of luck. Hopefully the weather will be great for the event, and it'll be July 20th. We know it's going to be warm, so
for sure.
Let's hope it's dry on July 20th through the 25th. We're going to try and get down there in the French Quarter and partake of some of the festivities. So we're looking forward to it. Looks like a lot of fun.
We'd love to see you down there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. And that's Charlotte Voisey, Executive Director of Tales of the Cocktail Foundation. As I said, July 20th, 25th, and it's the host hotel is the Ritz Carlton. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're going to go open lines. We'd love to hear from you. We've been talking about a lot this week, so give us a shout and let us know what you're thinking. We'll be right back.